We've had an outstanding weekend at the Big Sandy Fellowship meeting. Every sermon was just exactly what I needed. I want to ask that you would continue to pray for me. Turn to the 6th chapter of Isaiah. I want to talk about holiness or being holy today. The Bible, and I just wrote down a few of them just because there's too many for me to remember in my mind. But what the word holy applies to. What do you think about when you read or hear about something being holy? Of course, the Bible speaks of God as being the Holy One of Israel. His name is holy. Of course, we've got the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, which are the same thing. The flock of God is called holy in the Scriptures. The people of God are called holy, the holy people. The seed of God is called holy, the holy seed. The city of God is called holy, the holy city. The mountain of God is called holy, the holy mountain. The habitation of God, where God dwells, is called His holy habitation. There was a place that God deemed to be holy, and it was called in the temple, and it was called the holy place. And there are things that God consecrated in the temple, and even now that He called the holy things. Moses, when he was out in the wilderness and he heard a voice from heaven, it said, "Take off your shoes." You know, when he saw the burning bush, he said, "Take off your shoes, for the ground which thou standest on is holy ground." I mean, the ground is even holy. So what do you think about when you think or read of something being holy? I used to think that holy meant perfect. But holy does not mean perfect. I'd like to maybe not discuss all those other parts or things that were called holy, but I want to talk about God as being holy. And Psalm 111 and 9, he says, "He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name." He's called the Holy One of Israel. His Spirit is holy. It is God's name. His name is holy. And If that's one of the names of God, I want to, and it's what the Spirit's name is, or how the Spirit is described as being holy, and I think it behooves us to understand a little bit about what holy means. And I don't know that I can, I know I can't describe this to you fully, but I want to talk about the attributes of God. God is a righteous God. That means He's right. And I used to think when it said that God was holy, that was just another attribute of God. That meant He was perfect. That was that He was righteous, and that He was long-suffering, and that He was jealous, and that He was a God of wrath, but also a God of mercy and of judgment. All those things are attributes of God, but His holiness is not an attribute of God, but rather it's the culmination of all of the attributes of God under that heading of being holy. That just by reason of God's holiness, it's all of those things all together, all at one time, to describe God. He's holy. There's none like Him. There's none that can attain unto His holiness. He is the holy God of Israel, the Holy One, and we worship in His holy name, in His holy mountain, in the holy place, with the holy people. I tell you, that's what holiness is. It's all the culmination of all the attributes of God, all at one time. And when we say that He is holy, we're talking about not just one aspect of God, but all of them, all at the same time. And so when He says, "Holy and reverend is His name," He's getting the people and describing Him to the people that there's none like Him. No, not one. There's not anybody that understands Him because He's holy all at once. He's angry. He's jealous. He's full of wrath. He's full of mercy. He's full of understanding. He's full of compassion. He's full of all those things all at once. It is the essence of God described as being holy. Now, there were two times in the Scriptures where God was described by angels, by cherubims, seraphims, as being holy, holy, holy. Three times. Not just once. It repeated it for emphasis. That He's holy, holy, holy. Now, chapter 6 of Isaiah. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." Now that train, I used to think when I was a little kid, that train was a choo-choo train. But that's not that kind of train. A train is what follows after. That's what a bride has on her head. It's called a train, right? And it flows and it's long following after. And that's what Isaiah saw. He saw the train of God filling the temple of God. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain, He covered His face. With twain, He covered His feet. And with twain, He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? That's a great question. The Lord asked that question. He said, Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? And I tell you what, I'm getting this picture in my mind, and I've tried to envision myself seeing what Isaiah saw there when he saw the Lord lifted up and his train filling the temple and the doors shaking at the voice of the angels singing praises unto him and declaring his holiness, and that the posts of the door were shaking. I've seen in my mind's eye, I try to see that. And I see him standing there envisioning all this. And then one of those terrible creatures that had the six wings that came down, that cried, Holy, holy, holy unto God, took some tongs off the altar and brought it down and touched his lips with them and made him pure and clean. And he says, Thy sin is purged. And then after that, then the Lord says, Who will go for us, and whom shall I send? And he says, Here I am. Send me. I tell you one thing, Isaiah wasn't ready to go until his mouth had been purged clean by fire. And his sin been purged. He wasn't ready. But I tell you that after your sin is purged, after your lips have been cleaned, after you've been touched by the coal of God, you're ready to say, Here am I, send me. At the voice of God. And he says, some pretty harsh things about him, or to him, about what his job was. I want you to read the rest of that, but that's not what my subject is. He gave him the message to send. Now, I want to go to Revelation chapter 4. This is the other citation. And I'm going to read a good bit of this. I may read two chapters. I hope that doesn't get laborious for you. But I want you to, while I'm reading it, I want you to picture it in your mind's eye. I want you to put yourself standing in the place of John. I want you to see, just like you maybe envision yourself as Isaiah seeing the Lord lifted up and his train filling the temple. I want you to put your place in John, and I want you to put yourself in the position of him that where he saw the Lord and as a dead man when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I tell you one thing, you won't be able to see him like this unless you are in the Spirit. Now, he says in chapter 4, this is after he had given the message, right after he had given the message to the seven churches of Asia. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Are y'all getting the picture? And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. And the second beast was like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. These are the same beasts that Isaiah saw. I tell you. And they had 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day by day, rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give, listen to this, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Do y'all get that picture? Do y'all get the picture that there's a throne, and from that throne are lightnings and thunderings and voices, and around the throne are 24 seats, and the elders sit upon those seats, and they have crown of gold on their head, and the 4 beasts that are around, when they sing, Holy, holy, holy to God Almighty, they cast their crowns down at the throne of God, and they worship Him. He said, and they say, Lord, all things are for Thy pleasure. They are for Thy pleasure. They are and were created. Well, I tell you what, because they are recognizing the holiness of God. He is holy. Only He alone. And these 24 elders, and they're there, and they say, for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I'm reminded of in the beginning when God created the heaven and the earth. And after He had finished His creation, He said, He looked out upon all the things that He created and He called them good and very good. And they were for His glory and for the benefit of man. Now let's continue. Chapter 5. Are you there? Have you walked through the door? And see, are you seeing what John sees.
Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. It's a rolled up scroll. And it's got seven seals, not all the way on it, on the outside. I used to think that. The seals that they had were wax or something that they would drop on it. And so they rolled up a little bit and put a drop. Rolled it some more, put a drop. Rolled it some more, put a drop. So that it would, when you broke one seal, you would unfurl that. And then you break another one, and there's more to read. You break that, and there's more to read. Now, so the one that's on the throne has a book. And it's written on both sides, and it's rolled up, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. This is John saying, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, one of those 24, one of the 24 elders got up when John was crying and weeping because he didn't see any worthy man out there. And one of the elders stood up and said, "Don't you worry about it, none. You stop your weeping. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. There is no man worthy on this earth that ever has been or ever will be that's worthy to open that book except for the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders," you got it? "Stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that there's a throne and there's cherubims and angels and powerful angels there, and they laud him, they praise him, they worship him, they call him holy three times, and all the elders are around and they're worshiping him, casting their golden crowns at his feet, and there John is weeping because no man is worthy to look on the book that God holds. But there's one, and they get up and they say, "Don't you worry about it, John. Don't weep and don't fret none, because there's one worthy and only one, and it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah." And then they come off, and then they also, all the 24 elders and all of them that are there, they fall down and they worship the Lamb because he is worthy to be worshipped. He's holy. He's worthy to be worshipped. And so they fall down in front of the Lamb. And they not only do they do that, but they have harps and they're singing. And they have golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Did you know that your prayer, your prayers, when you pray, it's a sweet smelling savor to God? And did you know that your prayers are in those golden vials that they pray, that they pour out before God? In the throne room of God, your prayers that you pray in the morning time and at night, they're pouring them out before God right now. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." That isn't that great? Not only is he worthy to open the book, but he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world is the one worthy. And they worship him for his redemption. And they worship him for what he has done. They worship him because he was slain and because he procured salvation and redemption for all of the people contained in the books. Or not the books, but the book. He says, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Amen. "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests." Do y'all get that? They're praising him for not only what he has done, but for what he has made us. That he has made us kings and priests unto God. Why? Because it's for his pleasure that we are and were created. "And I beheld..." Here's another scene. If that wasn't good enough, let's read. "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of..." If that's a million, okay? But that's not enough. He said, I can't even count them. And he said, "And thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." It's not just the born 20 elders, folks. It's the whole train filling the temple that are saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." What a great vision. One day, I'll see it for real. One day, I'll be with that band that sings, "Holy, holy, holy." One day, I'll be with them that fall down at the throne of God. If I die before the world ends, before he comes back, I'll witness the odors, the prayers of the saints. I'll be with those same ones that ask the Lord, "How long, O Lord, will you not take vengeance upon the earth?" I'll be with them. I'll say, "Lord, why don't you go on and wrap it up?" I can't see it now.
Oh, I get a glimpse of it every now and then.
I think I got a little glimpse of it today. I can't imagine what it's going to be. I can't imagine. I can only imagine. But that's all I can do. But I certainly want to imagine it. I certainly want to try to figure out, try to think about, try to set my affection on things above and not on things earth. I try to see what it's like. I try to understand what John saw. I try to understand what it's like to fall down before the 24 elders and see those terrible creatures of God sitting around the throne, singing unto Him and saying with a loud voice, "Holy, holy, holy." I try to imagine that. And boy, I tell you what, it sure is good. I love it. I love it when I'm able to put myself into that situation and try to see with my mind's eye what heaven and the throne room of God looks like. I'll tell you one thing, ain't no cobwebs up there. No sin. No disappointment. No discouragement. No nothing except praise to the one who is worthy. Let's praise Him today, church. Let's say amen like the elder, like the angels did. They said amen. Amen. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.